The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
150 years, the Kentucky Derby's been an icon of racing and luxury. The first Saturday in May, the world turns its attention here.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby. And they're into the stretch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the place to be.
The 150th Kentucky Derby, Saturday, May 4th, on NBC and Peacock.
Behalf of Mr. Rice, that he has fully cooperated with the Dallas Police Department. Every question that was asked of him, he responded to the Dallas Police Department. And we will continue to cooperate with them in terms of this particular accident.
That's Royce West, counsel for Rashee Rice, Chiefs receiver, who is embroiled in a controversy arising from a six-car pileup that was caused by a two-car street race on Saturday. I just need to make one observation. I'm always intrigued by the setting of a press conference and the vibe of a press conference. Didn't that kind of feel a little bit like the notorious Not the Four Seasons press conference from a few years ago? Oh, not the Four Seasons Hotel, but the Four Seasons Heating and Cooling. I don't know. It just kind of had that vibe to me. I don't know whether it was outdoors. There was just something about it. Something about it that, I don't know. Is any hair dye trickling down anyone's face? I don't know.
I don't think so.
I digress. Yeah, you do. Enough of that. Move on, Florio. Move on. Move on or move out. That was Royce West talking about the willingness of Rashee Rice to cooperate with authorities. That's all well and good. We've been hearing that all week. The one thing we've been waiting to hear, the one question that needs to be answered, the most important thing from the perspective of the criminal justice system, who was driving the two cars, and was Rashee Rice driving either one of them? Here is Roy West making the statement that we have been waiting to hear.
During the interview, Mr. Rice acknowledged that he was driving the Lamborghini. That was the question that was asked, and he responded to that, that he was driving the Lamborghini. Mr. Rice wants to make certain that it's understood and appreciated that he's going to do everything in his power to bring their life back to as normal as possible in terms of injuries, in terms of property damages. He'll make certain that he is responsible for helping them to get through that particular part of this.
So, look, it's an unfortunate situation. It's good that there weren't serious injuries. That still never should have happened. We've shown the video multiple times this week. It was reckless. It was beyond reckless. It was repugnant to think of these guys treating it like it's a video game, racing through, going around cars. I mean, what? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Somebody could have gotten killed. And the reason why it was critical to know who was driving the Lamborghini Urus that you'll see here spun around with the flashers on, under Texas law and the law of most states, the one who's driving, if the one who's driving leaves the scene, that is a problem. And driving the vehicle creates one set of liability issues as it relates to the accident itself. Leaving the scene unlocks the more serious criminal penalties. leaving the scene of an injury accident is a big deal. And, you know, I think one of the reasons it took 5 days, and I don't fault the guy for exploring his options. You always want people to ultimately tell the truth. Sometimes the truth is told reluctantly. Sometimes the truth is told because anything other than the truth isn't going to fly. The dash cam that showed two guys getting out of the front seat, and the second one, based upon the other photos that we've seen published by TMZ, the second guy was Rashee Rice. The second guy out of the front passenger seat is the driver. He's the guy on the right, based upon the other photos we've seen from TMZ. So he was stuck. He was caught. He was in checkmate. There was nothing else he could do. He was only going to make it worse. And Miles, it was a balance of different issues. You got civil liability that he's not going to get away from because he owned one of the cars and was leasing the other car. His insurance policies, and hopefully for him he's got them, are going to be maxed out. And hopefully for him there is an exclusionary language that takes street racing off the table and says we're not going to give you coverage, you're on your own, and he may be in that problem as well. Then you've got criminal liability, you've got potential discipline from the team and the league, and you've got the PR realities. It's a bad look to walk away from the scene of an accident. It's a horrible look to say, we're out. No. We don't know. And you know, usually when it happens, it's because the person is concerned about a DUI. Now, that specter hasn't been raised here. And one of the reasons it hasn't been raised is there was no way for the authorities to assess whether or not the people driving the car were under the influence because they left. That's why there's a law against leaving. So ultimately, he's doing the right thing. But I can't help but wonder whether during those 5 days he explored all other options, all other alternatives to doing the right thing, and realized he's got no strategy other than to do what he needs to do, which is accept responsibility for what happened and admit he was driving the car.
Well, I mean, that's what lawyers are for, right? And I don't necessarily mean that in a negative way. That's just the reality of the situation. That's why you have an attorney, and the attorney explains the laws to you and then presents you with the options that you have and, you know, ultimately recommends an option for you, right? Like, that's what happens. So, I mean, you know, exploring your options, that just kind of is what it is. I just, this is so unacceptable on so many levels. And the NFL needs to come down hard on this. I mean, obviously he's got, you know, criminal liability, civil liability and all that. But when you are a league that in 2021 had a receiver for the Las Vegas Raiders, Henry Ruggs, do what he did, you know, and, you know, go into a high rate of speed and ultimately in someone's life, in the life of their dog, because they were racing effectively on the street, I mean, going at crazy speeds. Why is it that anyone in the NFL would do something this reckless and this stupid, this irresponsible? I mean, it is basically unfathomable to me why someone would do something like this. It is just, like I said, it's completely unacceptable. And, you know, I guess we can commend Rice for doing the thing that he should do and take responsibility for it. But this never should have happened. And, you know, we are, as a society, lucky that nothing worse happened from something this reckless and this stupid. So hope Rice learns from this. I don't think he should, you know, be behind the wheel of a car practically ever again, because you have shown that you are not responsible enough to handle it. I'm glad that the outcome was not any worse than what it's been, because this is just, it's so unacceptable, Mike.
Well said. And look, we played the clip at the top of the show of Raheem Morris in his first meeting with Falcons players. I hope that every NFL head coach and every college head coach and every coach of every team involving folks who are young and maybe inclined to get behind the wheel of a car and drive it too fast shows that dash cam video and tells the story of Rashee Rice and also Henry Ruggs. But yeah, we didn't have dash cam video of Henry Ruggs. We've got in living color exactly what happened, courtesy of that camera that was on the dashboard of a car that was trailing the incident. Every team, and our jurisdiction is the NFL. We won't worry about other sports leagues on this front. But this is a great teachable moment. This could be you. You know, I remember when I was 18, 19, 20 years old, and I became aware of the dynamic that you are charged higher car insurance rates until you turn 25. And I thought that's like reverse age discrimination or something. The reality is the human brain isn't fully formed until the age of 25 as it relates to appreciating and understanding the connection between the things we do and the consequences. Mm-hmm. Like when you're 25, you finally get it. The actuarial tables tell us that when the human being celebrates his or her 25th birthday, that is when the brain is fully developed to the point where it can process conduct and consequence. And when you're younger than 25, you do some dumb stuff because you haven't really gotten to the point where you can fully appreciate the connection between the dumb thing you do and how it can affect others and you. So to the extent that there is an external source to try to accelerate and expedite the process of getting the brain to realize if you do dumb things, bad things can happen, take full advantage of it. Every coach in the NFL, and we know some of you watch the show. First of all, thank you. Hello. We hope you're on the elliptical or the bike and, you know, multitasking. Use that. Use that video with your guys when they come in for the first meeting. Show it to them. Explain to them how bad it could have been for the other people in that car and how bad it's going to be for Rashee Rice, even though the worst thing didn't happen. Because he was driving extremely recklessly, because he left the scene of the accident, he's going to be looking at potential prison time. Now, we know what we hear all the time, 1 to 5 years in prison, and we know what happens. That isn't the case at the end of the day, but there'll be some consequence. And like you said, the league needs to come down on him. And I was hoping that the league was going to be ready to intervene and say, you know, if the strategy was going to be they can't prove beyond a reasonable doubt who was driving the car, if nobody says anything, that the league would have said to Rashee Rice, you're not playing professional football again until you say under oath whether or not you were driving that car. Silence is not acceptable here. This strategy of nobody's going to say anything, so nobody's going to get in trouble, that's not going to fly here. This isn't grade school where if everybody keeps their mouth shut, nobody knows who threw the egg at the school. And it might have been me, but there were others. But that's the that's a trip down memory lane for another day. But you're not going to get away with this by just keeping your mouth shut. So fortunately, it didn't come to that. Or maybe it did. We were talking earlier about things that happened behind the scenes. Maybe the NFL applied a little pressure behind the scenes. Hey, what the hell's going on here? This happened on Saturday. The police want to talk to you. You're not talking to them. You know, we get the feeling you're trying to maybe cook up a strategy where you can get out of this jackpot you drove your way into. That's not going to fly. We're not going to let you off the hook for this. You better do the right thing. And like you said, it's one of the purposes of a lawyer. I used to have on my business cards, attorney and counselor at law, because it's one thing to represent someone in court. It's another thing to sit down and talk to them about what their right move is. That's different from being a zealous advocate fighting on behalf of the client. At some point, you got to talk to the client about what really is what. And that was always one of my great challenges, because the client would be there while you're fighting on the client's behalf. And the client's like, yeah, I like what this guy's saying. And then you take the client back to your office and you're like, well, here's what we're dealing with. Well, what about all that stuff you said in court? Well, that's what I had to say, because I'm defending you. I'm advancing your position. Now I'm trying to tell you that might not work. All that stuff I said might not fly. So we got to make some other decisions here. So, good for Royce West, good for whoever influenced Rashee Rice. There's an old saying, like, wisdom often never comes at all. It's better that it arrive late than never, or words to that effect. So even though it took a few days, they got to the right spot. Maybe he had no choice. Maybe he tried kicking and screaming to avoid it, but he got to the right spot, taking responsibility. It never should have happened. They never should have left, but he's doing the right thing by taking responsibility. And whatever happens, happens.
He is. Yes, he is doing the right thing now, right? I mean, you cannot fix the things that have already happened. The only thing that you can do is take action in the future. And I guess to that same point, and you know, you brought this up with coaches you know, showing this video. There are mandatory trainings that NFL players and NFL staff, team staff, they all have to go through, right? Betting, sports betting has been one of those things that, you know, I took trainings on back when I worked for NFL teams 5+ years ago. So this should be one of them, right? I mean, they always talk about, you know, drunk driving and doing things like this. It also has to do with reckless driving, okay? And so Rice, Ruggs, you can look at any other sport you want, right? This needs to now be a mandatory part of training, all right? You cannot go on the highway or on any road. I shouldn't just say highway. You cannot get behind the wheel of a car and drive recklessly at a high rate of speed, because guess what? You don't know what the hell is going to happen, and you could end up killing someone. And it needs to be that stark. So that's the thing that I hope can come out of this, is that it becomes mandatory now. You know, it's not just drunk driving, it is reckless driving. And that needs to be drilled into the head of not just NFL players, and not just NFL staff, not just team staff, but all of us in society, really. But as it pertains to what we're talking about right now, you know, and players who can afford luxury hyper speed vehicles like Lambos, this is something that needs to be drilled into the heads of them.
And by the way, we have the quote, thanks to the quick work. I'm going to assume it was Gary in the control room that found this. Wisdom too often never comes, and so one ought not to reject it merely because it comes late. That comes from the former Supreme Court justice named Felix Frankfurter, which when I first heard that name when I was a first-year law student, I laughed. And I still, it's an awesome name. If I had to make up a name for myself, call me Felix J. Frankfurter. He was an Austrian-born American jurist who served as Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States from 1939 until 1962.
R.I.P. Think of Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Felix Frankfurter.
Dr. Frank Infurter.
Yes. Yes.
That's where my mind went.
I mean, you know, you can call it a hot dog if you want, but if you're not calling it a Frankfurter, you're just not living right, baby. Felix Frankfurter, thank you for your contribution to today's program. I think on that note, we should take a break. When we return, we'll take a closer look at the two teams that play not far from where Miles chooses to live. He could live in Cleveland, his hometown. He chooses to live in Los Angeles. We'll talk a little Chargers and Rams when PFT Live continues.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
For the world's greatest athletes,
this is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics, this summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
Really excited about the coaching staff and the amount of work that's been produced over the last month and a half. It's been a lot. They've done a great job. It's locked, cocked, ready to rock. Just needed the players to come in. I'm just like, let's go, you know. Start working.
Oh, one segment you get Felix Frankfurter references. The next segment you get locked, cocked, and ready to rock. That's Jim Harbaugh. That's another saying. When you have the Jim Harbaugh doll with the string, you know, there's a snake in my boots. There's a snake in my boots. You've got attack the day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. Who's got it better than us? Nobody. And now you've got locked, cocked, and ready to rock. Jim Harbaugh. Listen, 2 years ago, Jim Harbaugh was a finalist to become the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. And even though I have great appreciation and admiration and respect for Kevin O'Connell, who took the Vikings to the playoffs his first year and I think is one of the great young play callers and quarterback whisperers in the NFL, Jim Harbaugh will come in and make a difference day one. How long it lasts remains to be seen, but he is going to go in to LA and give the Chargers the kick in the ass that that program has needed for a long time. I have made my very dated reference many times. They are the Rosanna Dana of the National Football League, because with them, it's always something. And there are a few of you that still get that and appreciate it. And the rest of you, too bad. If you live long enough, one of these days, there'll be a reference that only you and a few other people get, and it'll make you happy as you are another Friday closer to death. But I haven't said that in a while either, for another Friday closer to death. But Jim Harbaugh, who is older than me, and has said there's only so much sand left in the top of the hourglass, there's plenty in the bottom, he is going to attack each and every day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. He is locked, cocked, and ready to rock, and the Chargers are going to be better for his presence. Whatever you say, I say what you will about Jim Harbaugh. Not the easiest guy in the world to get along with, but he is going to make the Chargers better. He already has.
Well, I think we got to be careful when we start saying locked, cocked, ready to rock. That seems like a field of landmines when we start talking like that. It's easier to go with, you know, let's attack the day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. I might stick with that one when it comes to Harbaugh. But I agree with you. Look, I mean, the Chargers need a kick in the ass. They do. I mean, they were not very good under Brandon Staley, right? I mean, despite the fact that he didn't want us to keep asking about who was going to call the defense, that defense was not very good. And that was supposed to be his calling card. And so when you have somebody like a Justin Herbert and he comes into the league and he does what he does, and we know that he's talented, right? He's one of those guys where it's like, all right, let's see if you can take the next step into truly becoming elite. I don't know that there are many better coaches out there for that than a Harbaugh to come in and make sure, like, yeah, let's go, you know, let's get you to that next level. Let's work with you and make sure that you can get to where you need to be. I thought it was interesting. Hayden Hurst earlier this week talked about how, you know, hey, if you put Justin Herbert with a really good run game, I mean, he's going to be throwing the ball over everybody's heads. And that could be true. You know, we'll see what Greg Roman does with that offense. But I think we know that if Greg Roman is anywhere, a team's going to have a pretty darn good run game. We'll see if the pass game can actually marry with that, and then they can actually be a really good offense. We'll see.
I think that it's going to be fun to watch. And I think other teams in the AFC West and AFC generally need to be a little bit concerned about what the Chargers might have cooking. They have made some changes. No sacred cows other than Justin Herbert. Everyone is subject to hard coaching and tough decisions other than Justin Herbert as the Chargers embark on the first year with Jim Harbaugh as head coach. Let's focus a little bit on the Rams, too, before we play a game of take your pick focused on the two LA teams. Puka Nacua, who was a finalist for Offensive Rookie of the Year, who had a great season, great guy. Talked to him a couple of times last year, interviewed him at the Super Bowl. Very affable, very loose, very fun-loving, but also very productive on the football field. Here he is talking about his time last year with Cooper Kupp and the Rams' window to get back to a Super Bowl just 3 years after they got there and won it.
I'm probably around 210 right now, so just about 10 pounds. I feel a lot better. I've been training with Coop, so it's been good. He's in the revenge tour. He's been able to get a healthy off season and stuff. Yeah. So he's back at it.
What do you think is the next thing, you know, y'all need? Because I mean, y'all took Detroit right down to the wire.
Yeah.
What do you think you guys need, you know, to improve next season?
like we got to take advantage of, I feel like, the weapons we got. We got Matthew Stafford. We got we got Cooper Kupp. We got D Rob. We signed back. Like we got guys D-Rob. Like Tutu. We signed a tight end.
Parkinson.
Yep, yeah, Cody Parkinson. Like. Yeah. We got Kyren 2-3 in the back. Like we've got both our running backs back. Like I feel like we have an offense like who can be put up against like the, I guess the Chiefs offense, the Super Bowl winners. Like I think we're up there with the 49ers where we played those guys.
Everything he says makes sense. They don't have Aaron Donald though. That's a fairly significant departure as he retires from the game. But the Rams were far better last year than anyone expected them to be. They made a great turnaround from that disastrous 2022 post-Super Bowl season. And who knows? I mean, the Rams kind of fall into that category of who knows what they're going to be this year. There's no reason to think they won't be highly competitive. Injuries are always a big factor, especially with a team like that. I mean, if Matthew Stafford goes basically wire to wire, he didn't go full wire to wire last year, but the more he's available to play, the better off they're going to be. And how many more years does he have left? When do they transition to a new quarterback? I mean, the Rams, they've got some good pieces that have been there that might not be there much longer. They've got some good young pieces. This is all, you know, every year is its own thing. Where do you get that sweet spot of the right mix of veteran talent, young talent, coaching, and it all comes together? You got the 49ers you have to deal with in your own division, but the conference itself, not like the AFC. There's an opportunity there for the Rams to get back to the postseason again in 2024, Miles.
Oh, absolutely. I think that they can. I mean, especially if, as Nacua just said in there, Cooper Kupp is on a revenge tour, right? I mean, he did not look himself, let's call it, last year, dealt with several injuries. But also, I mean, just the production just was not there. I mean, part of that was certainly Nacua's development and being such a good young receiver and a surprise, you know, as he was a fifth round pick. But Cooper Kupp averaged just 60 yards per game in the games that he played last year. So even if you look at 2022, he was averaging about 90 yards per game, right? Now, that's still off from that really incredible season that he had in 2021, where it was nearly 115 yards per game. But you go from 115 to about 60 in 2 years, that's a significant drop-off. So that makes sense why Cooper Kupp is saying, hey, I'm going to be back this year. I'm going to be me, and I'm going to look more like me. I'm going to perform more like me. And if that's the case, then, yeah, the Rams are going to be a tough out, especially offensively.
Okay, so let's do a little L.A. story, take your pick. Better chance for the playoffs this year, Rams or Chargers?
Well, I think by virtue of them being in the NFC, it's got to be the Rams, right? And, you know, they've got, as you mentioned, the 49ers in their division. But when you have an offense that's led by Matthew Stafford and you've got the weapons that they have, they're you can expect that they're going to be able to put up points. Now, are they going to be able to stop people? That's a different story. But I mean, you look at then the AFC, you got Patrick Mahomes to deal with in your own division. That's tough, man. You know, I don't know how much better the Raiders are going to be. I don't know how much better the Broncos are going to be. But when you have Patrick Mahomes in your division and he hasn't lost a division title yet, then they're the prohibitive favorites. And then when you then look at the rest of the conference, there are going to be a lot of teams contending for those wild card spots. And I don't know that there are going to be so many teams that are going to be contending for the same spots in the NFC. So that's why I'd say the Rams, Mike.
I'm looking at their schedule. The Chargers play, obviously, the three other teams in their division twice each. They play every team from the NFC South, every other team from the AFC North. They also play crossover teams, the Cardinals, by virtue of finishing where they finished in the division. That's that extra 17th game. They have the Patriots and the Titans as well. I think the Chargers, I'm going to go with the Chargers. I just think that the Jim Harbaugh effect, we look at what he did his first year in San Francisco, 6-10 team with Mike Singletary, Jim Tom Sula on the back end as an interim coach. Harbaugh came in right away and took them to the brink of the Super Bowl, not just the playoffs, the brink of the Super Bowl. He's got a franchise quarterback. I've been waiting for Harbaugh to come back to the NFL. I think the NFL is far more interesting when Harbaugh is in it. And I got to put my money where my mouth is on this. I've been saying for years, he's going to turn around a team quickly. He wanted that Chargers job last year. They weren't ready to move on from Brandon Staley. They did it this year. They landed him. And I think they're going to be good. And I think that they are more likely to make the playoffs than the Rams. I'm not ready to declare they're a playoff team, but I think they're more likely than the Rams to get there. Better chance to win the division, not just get in, but win the division. Chargers topple the Chiefs, Rams topple the 49ers. Which is more likely?
I'll go with the Rams again. You know, I just, even though I don't necessarily know what they're going to be defensively. I mean, they've added some guys. I like what they've done defensively, even though that, you know, you lose Aaron Donald, you lose your best defensive player. That's going to be significant. But I do think that the way the offense can coalesce around the fact that they understand who they're going to be now, right? You know, you go out and you get a Jonah Jackson, you know, you bring back, you have Kevin Dotson too, you know, and you get Cam Curl for defense, like and Darius Williams, you bring him back. Like, I think those are good moves. You know, the fact that the Rams know what they're doing offensively more now than they did last year, where they can be the kind of power run team. And then if you get in the situations, yeah, let's let Matthew Stafford throw it around a little bit more. I think Kyron Williams is an ascending guy. I feel like they can win that division. I do. And when you have Patrick Mahomes in that division, man, it's hard for me to pick against Patrick Mahomes. So I'll go Rams.
Okay. I'm going to go Chargers again. Here's why.
All right.
Look at what the Chiefs, we've got two straight years where the Chiefs have played all the way through the Super Bowl. Two straight years. There's a cumulative physical and mental and emotional toll to that length of a season. And look at what they were last regular season. They were like Indiana Jones, sliding under the door, reaching back and grabbing their hat, almost got their arm crushed by the door. I mean, look how close they came. We had the clip earlier of Max Crosby from the Raiders talking to Puka Nacua from the Rams. The Raiders embarrassed the Kansas City Chiefs in their own building on Christmas Day. Yeah. Now, the 49ers got embarrassed in their own building as well on Christmas Day, but that was by the Ravens, the one seed in the AFC. This was by a team that the Chiefs ordinarily have their way with. So I think, look, you look at some of the recent years. The Chargers have given the Chiefs some tough games. There was a year where the Chargers, I think it was 2019, the year that the Chiefs won their first Super Bowl, the Chargers were a game against the Ravens on a Saturday night away from being the one seed in the AFC that year. So
that was 18.
I thank you. My point being, the Chargers have shown they can compete with the Chiefs even without Jim Harbaugh as head coach. I think that the Chiefs, they're human. They're human. There's a point where it's just too much. And, you know, because they just pulled the rabbit out of their butts this past year, it might make them prone to complacency September, October, November. The other thing about the schedule that, you know, Chris and I have been trying to remind people of as we get closer to when they pull the sheet off of the configuration of games, how your schedule is set up can have a huge influence on how your season goes. We're going to have a draft coming up of who needs the teams that need the fast start, the best, or team. No, wait a minute. I got it all wrong. Teams that are that need to avoid a slow start the most. That's what it is. It was one of the two, mirror image. But how that schedule is put together by the folks at 345 Park Avenue goes a long way toward determining whether you're going to have a fast start or a slow start. So, you know, I could see the Chargers coming out of the gates. They get lucky with their configuration of games. I could see them coming out of the gates, hot team, taking over the division, holding off the Chiefs. It's Jim Harbaugh. It's the Jim Harbaugh effect, and I am here for it. Locked, cocked, and ready to rock. Better position to overcome a key loss. For the Chargers, it's Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, both gone, top two receivers. For the Rams, it's the top defensive player in the National Football League for the past several years, Aaron Donald. Who's in a better position to overcome those departures?
Here's where I will definitely say the Chargers. I mean, Aaron Donald is irreplaceable, right? That's one guy that you can't replace with one player. And I know Kobe Turner, you know, did a great job as rookie playing alongside Aaron Donald. But look, I mean, Aaron Donald has made a lot of people a lot of money, and I'm probably one of them. So, you know, that's one of those things where it is hard to overcome that. Whereas if you have a guy in Justin Herbert who is a good quarterback, you know, potentially ascending into great and elite, then you can bring in somebody else. You know, if we're just talking about Keenan Allen, and we can say that a young receiver can get up to speed very quickly. I mean, especially considering the draft position that they've got, they could get a Neighbors. They could get, you know, a Harrison Jr., and then we're off and we're running. And I think when you have a Jim Harbaugh and add him into that mix, like, yeah, that, I think that they're going to be all right replacing Keenan Allen in a way that is not the same as the Rams replacing Aaron Donald and also replacing their defensive coordinator in Raheem Morris, who we played at the top of the show.
I'd like to disagree with you just to keep it interesting, but I'm with you on this.
My points were too
good.
You move
on from a couple of aging, expensive receivers, and a point that I made within the past couple of weeks as they were going through the whole Keenan Allen, Mike Williams thing. You've got Jim Harbaugh, who's in a great position to help the scouts identify the receivers that he believes will come in and make an impact. He's been scouting opponents, legally and allegedly illegally, over the past couple of years with some supplemental stuff that Connor Stallions allegedly or actually put together. But he's in a position where he can say, I like this guy, I don't like this guy, let's get this guy, let's avoid that guy, and they can rebuild their receiving core. When you have Justin Herbert, that's easier to do. And we've seen this dynamic for several years now where players coming out of the college ranks every year are great at catching passes because of all the 7-on-7 camps, because of the way that passing has become more infused into the lower levels of the sport. You've got guys who are NFL-ready, plug-and-play, and Harbaugh is going to be the secret weapon to helping the process of spotting which guys in the draft pool are most likely to come in and get it done. All right, we're going to take a break. Deshaun Watson, will he be ready to go week one after season-ending shoulder surgery? He chimed in on that yesterday. We'll talk about it next here on BFT Live.
I'm very passionate about being in this city, passionate about the Dog Pound, passionate about getting out there on the field and being a success so we can bring that championship back to Cleveland where it belongs. And I'm going to do whatever I need to on and off the field to be able to, you know, have that goal achieved.
Deshaun Watson at the grand opening of Lefty's Cheesesteaks. He's not left-handed. His nickname isn't Lefty. We don't know who Lefty is. We were talking about that during the break. It was a point Miles made. But regardless, it is Deshaun's restaurant. He's one of the backers of the restaurant in University Heights, Ohio. If you're nearby, go get yourself a cheesesteak and ask, please, for us, who the hell is Lefty? And let us know. But he wants to bring a Super Bowl to Cleveland. And that's that. Hey, last year there was a moment where it was like, you know, the Browns could make it to the Super Bowl with that defense and the way that Joe Flacco was discovering the fountain of youth. Who's the guy that found the Ponce de Leon found the fountain of youth, which really isn't a thing, unfortunately. But I digress. It felt like the Browns could get to the Super Bowl. They've never been there. They're one of the few teams, as you well know, Miles, that has never been to the Super Bowl. And it feels like their window is open. We looked at their draft needs the other day. It's like, damn, they don't have a lot of, they're not have a whole lot of holes. They are close. They are in the mix. And they've added ham aficionado Mike Vrabel, who probably will go up and crush a few cheesesteaks at Lefty's as well, to help get the team to where it needs to be. I am bullish on the Browns.
Wow. I mean, I don't know that I am. In part because I don't know what Deshaun Watson's going to be. And we still don't, right? And that's what the biggest issue is, because the Browns look like they are a quarterback away from having one of the kind of elite teams in the AFC. You also don't necessarily know what Nick Chubb is going to be, unfortunately. You know, that knee injury was very devastating, you know? So you don't know when he's going to be back. Andrew Berry has talked about the next 3 months, you know, as a timeline of seeing what Nick Chubb can be, where he's going to be. So maybe it is just the fact that I am from Cleveland and I know exactly where Lefty's Cheesesteaks was. I remember when that was a KFC, that building, because I looked it up yesterday where it is. It used to be a KFC. It's also probably 5 minutes away from where the Kelseys went to high school. So, you know, if you, you know, want to know about the Cleveland geography and the suburbs, that's something for it. But yeah, I don't know what the Browns are going to be. And they could be a contender in the AFC or things could kind of fall apart. I don't anticipate that defense is going to get much worse, but it probably is going to regress a little bit. offensively, even though you've got Amari Cooper, you've got Jerry Jeudy now in the mix, you gave an extension to before he even was at a practice for you in the offseason, which is interesting. But then you also have Elijah Moore. Like, yeah, Njoku, weapons, yes. Is Deshaun Watson going to be able to consistently get them the ball? I don't know. I really don't.
Every town in America has a building that used to be a KFC that has that very distinctive roof. And right?
Yes.
Like the KFC where I used to work in my hometown of Wheeling, West Virginia, by the way, the book Father of Mine, based upon real life mob activities from that town in the early 70s. When I worked there from 81 to 83 or 80 to 82, who the hell knows? It's now like a drive through oil change, but it's the same building. You see that roof and it's KFC. The KFC here, just like a mile from where I'm sitting, is a liquor store. And it's still got that KFC roof. It's got fermented chicken. If you watch Seinfeld, you would get that reference. So anyway, Lefty's Cheese.
I was just thinking it would have the same smell as your house.
Look, that's right. I had fermented turkey. You can go to Lefty's Cheese. No, you can go to the old KFC and get fermented chicken. Maybe they have that on the menu at Lefty's Cheesesteaks as well. All right. More importantly, Deshaun Watson, at the announcement of his involvement in Lefty's Cheesesteaks, gave an update on the shoulder, which ended his season with a complicated fracture and surgical procedure. Here he is.
You know, the process is, you know, day to day, and we just got to take it one step at a time. We can't do anything too crazy. We can't jump the gun and try to do too much. The biggest thing right now through this process is load management and just continue to, you know, find ways to just get better and just stay on that course. So I'm trusting all the doctors, the PT, Dr. Eletrosh, and his team out in L.A., the Cleveland Browns, and we just, you know, follow their role, and, you know, we'll be ready for our week one.
Okay, it's one thing to be ready for week one. It's another thing to be on the field week 5, 10, 15, playoffs. That's what Deshaun Watson has to prove. And the pressure is on him greater than ever. This is part of the problem with the contract that he got. It increases pressure, expectations, criticism if you're not delivering. This is prove it year. I can't say it's up or out because they're stuck for 2 years beyond this. But, you know, at some point, Miles, you have to wonder whether they just say, and it would take a lot this year for them to get to that point, but if he has two more subpar years, I wouldn't be surprised if come year 5 they do the Russell Wilson thing and just say see you later, and he goes somewhere else, makes the league minimum, and the Browns pay him the difference, just like the Broncos are going to pay Russell Wilson the difference between $1.21 million and $39 million fully guaranteed this year.
Certainly. I mean, also the thing that, you know, stands out to me is he's saying week one, and it was April 4th when he said that, you know, week one. But what about training camp? You know, the offseason program starts in a couple weeks, and it's been established by Kevin Stefanski, Andrew Berry, you know, they're going to have him on the program and all this. But training camp is still several months away. And so the fact that he's like talking about week one, like, yeah, I understand that everything ramps up to week one. And it's not like he'd be playing much in the preseason anyway. But I don't know. That's like, it's something that I hear and I'm kind of like, wait a minute. Is it really going to be that? Like, are you going to be that limited in training camp still? And is that, what does that mean? You know? So I don't know. Again, maybe it's just the Clevelander in me that hears something like this and it's like, oh no. You know, we have to go to the worst possible outcome because that's all it means. But that when I hear week one as opposed to training camp and it's April the 4th, like that is something that's going to stick in my mind a little bit in terms of what his shoulder is and what the health is. And also when you look at the moves the Browns have made, you know, in terms of the quarterbacks, you didn't just bring in Jameis Winston. You added Tyler Huntley. You still have DTR on the roster as well. Like, I don't know what it all means, but I think it's something to keep an eye on.
We have to take a break. I'm going to ask you a simple yes or no question. Do you wish the Browns had brought back Joe Flacco?
No.
Wow. Wow. Okay,
I'm cool with Jameis Winston. Because we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I think Jameis Winston is a great vibes guy, you know, and I think that he's a really good backup. I think we've already seen that Jameis Winston and Deshaun Watson have hung out. I think Jameis Winston is going to be a great, great support system for Deshaun Watson in that room and perhaps outside that room as well. And I don't think it's anything against Joe Flacco, but I don't know that Joe Flacco would embrace that as well as Jameis Winston. And I say that in part because of the way Joe Flacco responded when he was asked about mentorship when with Anthony Richardson, when he was talking to Colts media. So yeah, I feel fine with Jameis Winston as the Browns backup.
Who do you trust more though, if the guy had to play, Winston or Flacco?
I mean, they're both going to throw interceptions. So I mean, it's about the same.
True. All right. We need to take a break. And if you're in Cleveland, you can either eat a W or you can swing by Lefty's Cheesesteaks. We have given Lefty's Cheesesteaks sufficient pub. I expect tomorrow morning. There it is. I do not want to eat a W. I want to eat a Lefty's Cheesesteak. So send me one, Lefty. I'd like to try your cheesesteak. Let's take a break. When we return, Terry McDonough's legal fight with the Cardinals isn't over. His lawyers have found a creative way to get a legitimate second bite at the apple that is Michael Bidwell's pocketbook. We'll do that next here on PFT Live. Last Friday, former Cardinals executive Terry McDonough won a $3 million reward from the Arizona Cardinals for defamation of his character, not for anything that happened while he was working for the team, but from the ridiculous, embarrassing, unbecoming PR statement that the team put out attacking him for having the gall to try to defend what he believed was a violation of his legal rights. Now, the Cardinals won somehow on the wrongful discharge claim. Well, I know how they won, because it was resolved by the secret rigged kangaroo court of Roger Goodell or his designee. But even there, the rigged court could not ignore the depths of the false, defamatory, and malicious allegations made by the Cardinals against Terry McDonough. Now, Miles, we have chapter two, because McDonough was limited to arbitration against the Cardinals. He could sue the outside PR firm that put out the defamatory statement, and he has. He could sue the law firm that was involved in gathering the dirt on Terry McDonough so they could load up the statement to make him look bad, because how dare you pursue legal rights against the great and powerful Bidwell of Arizona? Go after the law firm. And on top of it, Terry Bidwell's wife, who arguably was defamed by the implication that she was the victim of extreme domestic violence. His daughter, who was arguably defamed by the characterization that his father had abandoned her financially and cut her off completely. They can sue the Cardinals and Bidwell because they're not parties to any arbitration agreement. So McDonough suing the PR firm, Jim McCarthy, the PR executive, the lawyer that was involved in this, and his firm, and McDonough's wife and daughter suing everybody, including the Cardinals, for defamation. And off we go. We said the other day, if he gets $3 million in arbitration for this defamation, what does a real court do? What does a real jury do? At a minimum, you add a zero to the three. Maybe add a zero and double it or triple it by the time it's all said and done, Miles.
Wow. I mean, that's pretty remarkable. I mean, the fact that, you know, as you put it, the NFL's kangaroo court, you know, the secret, you know, arbitration process already awarded him as much as he was awarded, I think is pretty remarkable. But this, to me, kind of brings up more questions about the stewardship of Bidwell with the franchise. I mean, it's not like, you know, we're talking about Dan Snyder here, and I don't want to put it on that level or even like a Jerry Richardson, but you know, there has been reporting about Bidwell and his stewardship of the franchise and the kind of culture that is pervasive within the Arizona Cardinals. And I think when you see something like this, where even the NFL's arbitration process awards McDonough $3 million, you know, for that defamatory statement that obviously was written because Bidwill wanted it to be. Like, that to me raises more questions about what exactly is going on with that franchise under Bidwill. It does.
And let me just say this. We have to break, but it's very simple. If the reaction to an employee pursuing his legal rights in a valid, acceptable way through the normal arbitration process that's spelled out in his contract, if that causes the Cardinals to react by saying, we're going to tear this guy down, we're going to dig up any dirt we can, we're going to make him look bad, that's indicative of a mindset that's going to manifest itself in all sorts of other poisonous, toxic ways that if Mary Jo White ever went in there poking around, maybe she'd find something that would force Michael Bidwell down the road, just like Dan Snyder. It's all a matter of, will someone ever go in there and poke around and see what they can find? The same way they tried to find stuff on Terry McDonough. It would be a nice, fair turnabout if that were to happen. All right, we take a break. After 1 week of the Major League Baseball season, there is one winless team. Which NFL team can least afford a bad start? That's our draft next here on PFT Live. The New York Mets got their first win of the young baseball season at Citi Field last night. There was hardly anyone there to see it, but it did happen, despite the fact that there weren't many witnesses. The Mets win 2-1. They get their first win. So, the struggles of the Mets inspired today's draft. Teams that can't afford a slow start in 2024. Miles, you're up.
Well, let's stay in the area and go with the New York Jets, even though they play technically in New Jersey, right? I mean, if that thing does not go well early with Aaron Rodgers and all of his stuff, you know, with the coaching staff probably on the hot seat, you know, with all of the other things that have gone on with the New York Jets over the last year or two. I mean, that if that thing doesn't start well, that's going to be a powder keg. And I'm kind of interested to see it. It would be very interesting, but they need a fast start. Otherwise, things are going to get very loud very quickly in a negative way.
Everybody's on the hot seat. Aaron Rodgers said it himself several months ago. I'm going to go with the Dallas Cowboys. How about them Cowboys all in? If they lose a bunch of games early, it could be Mike McCarthy out. And maybe Mike Zimmer will be the interim head coach when they play Kirk Cousins and the Falcons. Lord. A kid can only dream.
Yeah, I mean, that would certainly be interesting. I'll stick in the NFC East, and I'll say the Philadelphia Eagles, man. I mean, that's another team where Nick Sirianni, probably a little bit lucky to keep his job, but you've got two new coordinators, Kellen Moore, Vic Fangio, neither of whom really set the world on fire in their previous jobs last year, where they were only there for a year, Fangio in Miami, Kellen Moore out here by me with the Chargers. I don't know how that thing's going to go, but they certainly need a fast start. Otherwise, it's also going to be very loud for Sirianni in Philadelphia.
I'll go to one of the teams we talked about earlier in the program, the Buffalo Bills. Now that they've stripped down the receiver position, Brandon Bean, the GM, says we'll be a much different team September 1. Well, you got to win some games early, because if this experiment of moving on from Stephon Diggs doesn't work, and if Diggs takes off for the Texans, that's going to put even more pressure on the Bills if they get off to a bad start.
Yeah, it certainly will. I'll finish off with the Pittsburgh Steelers, team the Bills beat in the playoffs. But it's going to be interesting, right? I mean, this is a team that we think of as good, but the Steelers haven't had any postseason success in a long time. They've been on that cusp of good slash mediocre. They're kind of like the best bad team. If they don't get better demonstratively with Russell Wilson at QB, it might get loud for Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, and I'm going to finish with the New Orleans Saints. Look, they weren't not competitive last year. They were kind of in the mix, but they're going to quickly fall into Panthers territory and maybe slip behind them with the Falcons improved and the Bucs holding firm. And then I don't know that there'll be any drinks thrown in New Orleans. So there's still that will be going for the Saints. But other than that, the Saints could end up in a mess this year in what could be the last year of Derek Carr and maybe the coaching staff in New Orleans. Let's take a break. We'll wrap up this Friday edition of PFT Live right after this. From the Kids Say the Darndest Thing file, Jonathan Feliciano of the 49ers tweeted this recently. Picked up my kids from their Sporty Kids after school program where they play different sports each day. I asked my daughter, what sport did you play today? She says, you have to guess. It's the sport you failed at. Basketball, he said. No, football. You remember you lost the big game. Ow! Boom! Bang!
Ruthless. As he said, wow. Kids are just ruthless. And I believe that his kids said that. A lot of time I don't believe it.
It's great. When you're young, you have no filter. When you're old, you have no filter. And I'm getting toward that age. Have a great weekend!
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.